Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. I want to welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. And tonight is our Word of Life Church Kentucky Bible Study Online. So I want you to tune in. You are listening. Invite our friend. And I want you guys to grab your Bibles. We're going to get in the Word on tonight. We're going to get in the Word on tonight. So if you know someone who needs to listen in, I want you to call them. I want you to text them, email them, and tell them to tune in to tonight's radio broadcast. And again, you're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast.
Well, come on, everybody, put your hands together. Come on, help me lift that Jesus. Come on. Lift those hands up. Let's hear.
Well, amen. I want to welcome you back to the show. And my mic was not on at all. So I want to welcome you back. I always like to play that song by Lemmy Battles. Maybe I will switch it up soon, but I like the song by Lemmy Battles of the Chicago Mass Choir. I got a chance to hear her speak, and so it was just, not just speak, but hear her sing. So it's a blessing. But tonight I don't want to be long, but I still want to talk for a little bit about the prophetic. And give me one moment. I don't like to be hindered here. I like the radio because the radio is also live. But I want to talk about the prophetic. And, you know, God is doing some awesome things. And before I start this broadcast, I'm like, let's just pray. Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you, Father God, that the power of God is going across the airwaves and sound in the name of Jesus. I thank you that people will be edified, Father God. People will be delivered, Father God, healed and set free, Father God. That people will repent, which means to change the way that they think, that their minds will be changed, Father God, by the anointing, by the word, by the revelation, God. And even when people hear this after it is recorded, Father God, have your way and be glorified. Anoint the word, anoint the revelation in Jesus' name, and I give you the glory and I give you the honor and the praise, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. So let's get into it. We've been talking about the season God has me in, and the season of impartation, and this season of just really just driving, I don't want to say driving the enemy out, but this season of God taking us to another place. God wants to take us to a place of miracles. He wants to take us to a place of revelation. He wants to just take us to another place in him. And sometimes it's not always just the manifestation. He just wants to take us to another place of realizing that he is who he is, that we need to believe him and take him at his word and just walk by faith and let him just open up some doors. Now, a lot of the times, in order for him to do that, God does the miraculous and does some things that gives us some signs that, look, I am hearing you. Look, you are hearing me. Now, as prophets, we can tend to get a little bit discouraged. So I just want to get, Lord have mercy, into some word here on tonight and do a little teaching in the prophetic with the understanding that I'm hoping that people who are in the prophetic or people who are called to the prophetic will be edified. I'm finding there's not a lot of good teaching on the prophetic. Though there is good teaching, there's not a lot of good teaching. We have a lot of book teaching. We have a lot of people writing books. We have a lot of seducing doctrines. But every now and then it's good to hear somebody just talk about the gift, talk about what God is doing, and really just delve into the Bible to see how God uses the prophetic. And one of the ways that we do see the Bible, God in the Bible use the prophetic, is through judgment. And I know that's a topic a lot of us don't like to hear and don't like to really talk about, but that's one of the subjects I'm going to be talking about on tonight. And the main subject is the judgment of the Lord and how he uses the prophet for judgment. Now, if we notice, we cannot be prophets and not just preach, pray, and prophesy blessings and not decree the judgment of God, because then that would make us unbalanced. Then that would make us unbalanced. We must eat the meat, spit out the bones, but we also must preach. I know we say eat the bitter with the sweet, but we also must preach the bitter with preaching the sweet. And one of the things we found in the Bible, God does not really like a rebellion that much. And let's just go into a couple of instances of that. And the reason I'm going into this is because we are in a day, and I had recently happened, you know, I made a comment on my Facebook page and somebody responded to it, but it just amazes me at the speed at which people can come against the men and women of God. You know, the church that I grew up in, or the body of Christ that I grew up in, you know, we didn't just roll up on the man or woman of God. We just were not that quick to put our mouths against the man and the woman of God. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of Numbers, because we're going to work your Bible on tonight. And if you are sitting beside somebody and you have somebody else in the room, or you're listening to this with someone else, or you're on the phone with someone and y'all are both listening to it, just look at them and tell them, say, work your Bible, because we are going to work our Bibles a little bit on tonight. I want you to go to the book of Numbers. We're going to go to the book of Numbers. We're going to go to the book of Numbers. And we're going to talk about rebellion and impartation. Because, see, we're going to see a connection between rebellion and impartation. Because rebellion is at the center of witchcraft. And what I really want people to see is that when prophets come, they come in the spirit of righteousness. They're coming out of a level of purification. So what happens is, when they begin to preach and teach, you may have a pastor who is in the Word, who is praying, who is fasting, who is doing what they feel that the Lord is telling them to do, and they may be doing what the Lord is telling them to do, but somehow when the prophetic word comes across, it's hitting an area in their life that they may not see. The anointing drips and flows from the head. It's like oil coming off the head of Aaron. It flows from the head down to the beard. That means when the oil is in someone's life, when the word is being preached, that word is going into the recesses of our inner recreated man, and it's going down into our spirit, and it's uncovering. When the anointing touches things in our life that is not purified, it reaches down with the hand and pulls that thing up to us so we can begin to bring correction to it. Because a lot of us don't, you know, we have the anointing. We just think it's for us to preach, hoop, and holler and say, I got it. You know, I got it, I got it, I got it. Well, you got it. I don't know what it is, but you have it. But we need to find out who God is. Let's go to the book of Numbers chapter 12. Again, we're talking about rebellion here. The Bible says rebellion is at the center of witchcraft. We know it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Now, this is a story in the Bible a lot of us read. I know if you have ever read the book Spiritual Authority by Watchman Nee, it's a Chinese writer. A lot of his writings are very prolific. They're very powerful. And he has this book, Spiritual Authority. And he mentions a lot of instances, and he talks about spiritual authority. It's very powerful. And so this is one of the stories that's actually mentioned in there. But we're going to go here and read this. And Numbers chapter 12, and the Bible reads, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses." Now, we know Miriam was the sister of Moses. We know Aaron was the high priest. "And they spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." So this is one thing. We have prophets today. And as prophets, you cannot be afraid to decree and to declare the judgment of the Lord. And you cannot not want the judgment of the Lord to break out against you. Because what you're asking for is, God, do not let one of the signs that I'm a prophet follow me. See, one of the signs, and one of the greatest, if you would ask me, but one of the signs that you are a prophet is when you decree, you teach, you declare, you pray, you prophesy, you release the word of the Lord, you go on a mission that God gives you. He specifies you. He gives you a mission, and you are anointed to specify for that mission. And if people do not want to receive you, that's not the time for you to get depressed. That's not the time for you to say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't my time. Oh, God, well, maybe I moved and this, that. No. That's not the time for that. That is a time for you to shake the dust off your feet and move out. And what we have sometimes, a lot of times, is what happens when a prophet comes to a place to do a mission or to complete a mission, or because God told them to say something and the people don't receive you, you say amen and you leave. And then you find out different things have happened. Different things have happened. Well, that is not just circumstance, because when they do not receive the prophet, or do not receive those whom God has sent, judgment will break out. And not only that, when people come against you, judgment will break out. And you must know that these are the signs of the anointing that's on your life. And some people look at that and say, well, that's not God. No, that's Bible. These are the signs, because you are the one whom God has called. You are the one who is living right. You are the one who is purified. You are the one who's fasting and praying. You're the one who's humble, and you're just being obedient to the Lord. And that's the Lord letting you know that I am protecting you, and I am keeping you in this world, and letting you know that I have sent you. And so here we have, in Numbers chapter 12, they spoke this, and God said, and the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. They said, okay, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Okay, are you the only one that God is speaking to? You know what I'm saying? Are you the only one that the Lord is speaking to? Hath God only spoken by Moses? Now, this is coming from a high priest and a prophetess. So let me bring this home, because when we look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, one of the things we fail to tell people about that story is that all parties involved in that story were saved. Okay, so we always talk about how they lied to Ananias and Sapphira lied to the apostles. They dropped dead. They took them out of there. Okay, but let's back that up. Let's rewind. Everybody involved in that situation was saved. So now let's put that in perspective, because everything in creation is in file, is in rank, and is in order. So here you are in the church, so quick to roll up on leadership. We can never operate in the fullness of the kingdom of God if we do not respect order. If we don't respect order, and what do I mean by respecting order? God has given you the Holy Spirit, which is able to discern in the Holy Ghost. So when you meet somebody, your Holy Spirit should be able to allow you to discern the level of the spirit that they are on. Don't act brand new. When you meet somebody, you know if they have a greater anointing than you do or not. You know. Let's not act slow. We know that. I meet people. Hey, God bless you. You know when people have an anointing that's greater than yours, or anointing you need to submit to, because for a season God wants to impart that to you. But a lot of us don't do that. So with Ananias and Sapphira, we have them dropping dead because they lied to the apostle, though they may have been saved themselves, though they were saved themselves. So let's bring that to the church age with all these people who are hearing the Lord as well. I hear the Lord too. Are you really a prophet? Did God say that? And see, a lot of people are saying this even after the men and women of God have signs, wonders, and miracles, and the evidences of that gift that have already manifested. We still have people that will roll up in the prophet apostles' face and say, you know what? God has not called you. Now I'm going to flip that to leadership, because then we have leadership who claim they believe in the apostolic and the prophetic, but then when a prophetic word comes across, they don't receive it. And that's another issue, because we can't really be integral with God and expect God to move in our life at a level that we won't even receive in someone else's life or from someone else's life. So we have the prophetess and the chief priest saying, God speaks to me too. You're not the only one. But let's go to the scripture. And it says, verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. So for those who are called to the prophetic, there you have it. You know, don't worry about people calling you and saying, oh, I'm going to ordain you to be a prophet. No, man cannot ordain you to be a prophet. All man can do is recognize the inner consecration, or as the book of Hebrews calls it, all they can do is recognize the order of Melchizedek down on the inside of your spirit. All they can do is recognize the call of God on your life. God is going to be the one that calls you. God is going to be the one that says, I've called you to preach, I've called you to teach, I've called you to prophesy. Verse 7 says, my servant Moses is not Saul, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. And some translate that face to face, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude or likeness of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, now check this out, wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See, you have to know your walk. You have to be secure in your walk and know what God is doing with you to be secure at the level that God has you on. And we're not worried about, you know, judgment breaking out against people to prove us, but you need to know that it's going to happen. And when it does, let the chips fall where they may and keep on going, because God allows judgment to break out after the prophet has been rejected as a hope. It's a method of redeeming them so that they may come back. He's giving them a chance to repent. Now, verse 9 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. God said, I'm done. And he left. Now, verse 10 says, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Now, he said, you know what? See, the Bible says, look, the anger of the Lord was kindled, and he departed. This is a hot mess, and he left. He said, this is a mess. I'm gone. I'm out. Because I don't even have time for this. I chose Moses. Y'all, you're the high priest. You're his sister. You're a prophetess. And this is some foolishness. You're all in the same house, doing the same work, doing the same ministry. Why do we want positions? Why do we want to be recognized so much that we will begin to fight amongst one another in the house? This is some foolishness. I'm out. And when God left, said peace, deuces, I'm out. The Bible says, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Now, I'm not even going to use that to teach what color the people in the Bible were. I'm going to leave that all the way alone. And the Bible says, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead. This is Aaron said unto Moses. Now listen to this. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord. This is him interceding, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out for the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received again. God said, if her father had but spit in her face, wouldn't something have to be done? Good, she'd be all right. Take her on out the camp. Let her be shut out 7 days. Verse 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not. And that's a good nugget, because one person's disobedience can stop the whole camp from moving. And see, churches these days don't understand that. And we have a lot of pastors who are in positions who don't understand that. And they are stagnated in ministry, and God has caused them to be in a state of delusion. God has caused them to be frustrated because by the works of their own hands, which is going to cause them to seek him in prayer so they can birth out what he told them to do. And the way God is going to send them deliverance is through the apostle and the prophet. Because the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. Now, I'm going to give you a type of this, because there are a whole lot of churches that have been struck leprous because of they won't receive the prophet and apostle. They won't receive the apostle. They won't receive the prophet. And guess what? The church is stagnated because you cannot go forth in God until you receive the whole hand of God. What is the hand of God? Hello, apostle. Hello, prophet. Hello, pastor. Hello, teacher. Hello, evangelist. Now, pastor and teacher, of course, we know one and the same, the pastor, teacher. But they cannot go forth. There are churches that are stagnated. There are churches that don't know what to do. And here we got all these people that God called to the prophetic, and you scared to go preach, and you scared to prophesy, and you scared to travel, and you scared to do what God has called you to do when you have the deliverance in your mouth for the people that's surrounding you. You are the one that is the blessing. God has locked up these churches, and the keys of the kingdom are in the apostle and prophet's mouth, so they can unlock these doors and catapult these people forward and release them and accelerate them in ministry. Because they can only go so far with the teacher, with the evangelist, and with the pastor, or the pastor, teacher, and the evangelist. They need the apostle, and they need the prophet to unlock the mysteries of heaven so that they can go forth. And that's why the people are standing still. The Bible says in verse 15, the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. Now, I'm not trying to get too deep, but we're gonna work this. Any woman you see in the Bible is a type of the church. So now let's look at the scripture. Miriam was shut out the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. Okay. God, let's really get this. Let me back this up. Miriam, she's a woman. Let's say Miriam is a representation or a type of the church, who has rebelled against those whom God has sent to the church. See, God has raised up the apostle and prophet, and he has sent them to the church because in the book of Ephesians, they are the foundation of the church, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. But the church has raised up against the apostolic and prophetic, hello, Moses. And so what God does, he comes down in this story and say, And isn't this just the truth? I speak to prophets in visions and dreams. Now, I want you to get this. The Bible doesn't say this, but I'm going to say this so you can get it. But to my apostles and my prophets, I speak mouth to mouth, apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall they behold. I want y'all to understand this from a New Testament point of view, because the Bible lets us know that apostles and prophets have the mysteries of God. They are to reveal mysteries of God that were locked up. Now, they reveal these mysteries. He says, why were you not afraid to speak up against them? And the churches are today, they are afraid. Now, check this out. They're afraid to receive them. They're afraid to receive them. And the reason they're afraid to receive them, and it's not the whole body, but it's a lot of leaders who are afraid of the giftings. Because when you have, and the leaders are afraid of the apostle and the prophet, because when the apostle and prophet come in, they bring divine order and they bring revelation. And the reason leaders are afraid of them and keep them afar off is because they themselves are in rebellion. And they went off before their time. They went off before their time. They started churches. They left the ministry. They left the ministry and called themselves a bishop. Left the ministry. Call yourself an apostle. You church of God in Christ, yet you an apostle. The devil is a lie. You PAW, but you apostle. The devil is a lie. Here we go. We got all these denominations, but you an apostle. I'm confused. Are you an apostle? Are you a pastor? Are you the bishop? Are you the prophet? What are you? Because maybe you can let us know, because we don't know. And what we have today is people wearing so many hats. They have not solidified. Look, what has God called me to? So we have pastors in all of these hats, and they're afraid of the apostolic and prophetic. Now, on the flip side, you have people receiving certain aspects of the apostolic and prophetic so that they can look like they're apostolic and look like they're prophetic when inwardly their spirit is in a state of rebellion. But when the prophetic comes and the true apostolic comes, it comes to set everything in our spirit right and in order. So God has allowed a period of time for the church. Now get this. He has allowed a period of time for the church to be shut out from that which they wouldn't receive. This is why the apostolic and prophetic is back on the scene. In these last 15 years, we've seen the apostolic and prophetic run to the scene. They came to the scene. Why? Because for so long, the church was shut out from it. God, they couldn't handle it. God shut the church out of the camp. He shut the people out. He took Miriam. He put Miriam outside the camp. And when Miriam was placed outside the camp, yeah, the people went about their business. They were still hello church. Yeah, the people went about their business. They still did the business of the church. They still, of course, we know they still were saved. God still communed with them. But there was a level that God locked the church out of because they wouldn't receive his ministers. And afterward, verse 16, the people removed from Hazeroth, which is where they were, and they pitched in the wilderness of Paran. So when Miriam came back to the camp, then the people moved. They moved. They changed locations, then they moved. Now, I'm not going to preach that like I want to, but the nugget I want you to get out of this is when you look at this passage of Scripture, you need to understand the mind of God towards rebellion, and I wanted to include the apostolic and prophetic in there so you can get a good understanding about the apostolic and prophetic and understand that God sends apostles and prophets to the church in these last days, and now I'm going to switch because I'm going to zoom in on the prophet because we got a lot of apostles that don't want to listen to prophets, and we got a lot of prophets that don't want to listen or work with apostles, but we can see the apostolic working because he told Moses, Aaron, I'm making Aaron as your prophet. Moses was as a God to the people. Aaron is going to be your prophet. Moses is a type of the apostolic, with Aaron being a type of the prophetic, and not only Aaron, because he had Miriam, who was a prophetess, who was there as well. And so what we have is God is raising up in this season a breed of prophets. He's raising up a new breed of prophets. These are people who were actually like the prophets of old, have the character of true prophets. Prophets are purified. Prophets are oft in fastings. Prophets are in their word. Prophets, God speaks to them about righteousness. They still talk about holiness. You still need to be delivered. Without holiness, no man will see God. You still need to be delivered. You still need to be whole. But this is where it gets tight, because when you start to go to houses that look like they got it together, and people that you say are good and they are saved and they sound good and look good, God begins to purify you to a level where your word begins to pierce the veil and cut asunder like a double-edged sword and begins to discern the hearts and the will and the intentions of people's spirit and begin to dig up everything that is not like God. This is where people say, you know what, we want you to prophesy over us, we want you to bless us, but we really don't want all that. We don't need all of that. We really don't want to be delivered. We really don't want to be gutted and cut out and plowed out to another level in God. We really don't want that level of prayer. We really don't want the signs and wonders like that. We want God to come in, just do some miracles, have some good worship, have some church, and then we want to put our speaker up, and then we want to leave. We really don't want God to move, because, my God, in order for God to move, we must be pure. We must be purified. Go to the book of Malachi. I want you to go to the book of Malachi, and I'm staying here for a minute on purify. Go to the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law of his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. This is a word of the Lord talking about the priest. Now, if you move over to chapter 3, talking about the day of judgment in the book of Malachi. But who may abide, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and pure with fire of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Lord have mercy, the sons of Levi, and purify them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And see, this is what God is doing with these prophets. Guess what? To be a prophet that's offering up unto the Lord an offering of righteousness, we can't hang around everybody. You can't just be around everybody. You can't compromise either. The Bible says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He didn't say you need to go and hang around all men. So if you get purified and you start to do what the Lord is telling you to do, he will draw those that need to be around you and your anointing, because he is tailor-making that anointing inside each and every one of us according to the five spices. And we were going to look those five spices up that made the anointing oil, or the four spices and the oil of the olive tree, which was the fifth part of it, and those spices were added to that. If we would go look at each one of those spices and the characteristics, we would get an understanding of what God wants to do in our spirit, and how he adds these spices to us, and how he stirs up the anointing in us, that each one of us may have a tailor-made anointing that's specified for the purpose that is on our lives, while yet we are still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we were talking about purification and rebellion, and I went there because I had to lay that out apostolically and prophetically, because as prophets, you got to understand, God's going to call you to judgment. You're going to speak judgment. Suck that up. It's not always prospering. It's not always prosperity. It's not always money. Look, because see, the prophets of old, see, that's why there wasn't a whole lot of prosperity. Have you ever noticed why in the Old Testament, you don't see a lot of prophets always prophesying gold, always prophesying, you know, God's going to bless you. God's going to give you money. As a matter of fact, no. You don't see that, and it's not even biblical. You know, we go into the New Testament and talk about prosperity. You know why the prophet didn't really have to deal with that? Because they had an understanding of the spirit world to already know that they were one with the universe, and that they could decree and declare it. And when you really know you can decree and declare something, or when you really know that God is your provider, you really don't worry about anything, and you just move out, because guess what? He's going to make it happen. So I don't have to preach money, because guess what? It's already here. Money already comes. It's already on its way. I can emphasize, or I can focus on those issues of the spirit, the purification, the holiness, and I can be on missions that the Lord is calling me on, because he's going to call you on some missions. He's going to call us to do some things where we're not going to have the money and the resources to go do it. We're just going to be going in the name of the Lord, and God, you told me to go, so I'm going to let you do it, and you make it happen. We don't see them doing that in the Old Testament. We see them decreeing and declaring the word of the Lord. We don't see a lot of prophets. Every prophet didn't do a lot of miracles, but we see them declaring and decreeing the word of the Lord. A prophet is a spokesman. A prophet is somebody who speaks on the behalf of another one. So these prophets spoke on the behalf of God. They had miracle signs and wonders that followed them. Some of them did, but they preach righteousness. What are the connecting factors? Righteousness. Yes, they prophesied accurate prophecy, and a lot of their prophecy, some of them came to pass in the future. See, this is why we have a lot of people who want to be prophets, but when the Lord speaks, you know, who is writing it down? Who is recording it? Who is going back? Who is cataloging, so that we can see what the Lord is doing, so that we can see, okay, God did this here, and God did this here, and God did this here, and God did this here. Who is cataloging? So is God doing all this speaking for naught? No, we need to catalog it. We need to, you know, we're talking about the school of the prophets, teach people how to write. Teach people how to speak publicly. Teach them how to hold a microphone. Teach them how to speak into the microphone. Teach them how to exegete the word, eisegete the word. Teach them polemics. All apologetics, come on. All of these things, hermeneutics, all of these things, exposition of the word. These things need to be taught. These things should be lined up. While we're focusing on a lot of other things, God is trying to get a spirit of righteousness down on the inside of us. And when that spirit of righteousness get in you, and you begin to go on these fasts, and you begin to get into the spirit of the Lord, things will start to disturb you. Things will start to frustrate you. And so here's the thing. You got prophets who are filled with their righteous indignation. Certain things frustrate them. Certain things they cannot stand to be around them. That is good. Why? Because the prophet is supposed to manifest and relate the mind of God. What is the prophecy? The mind of God migrating to the mind of man, being communicated back and forth, a Jacob's ladder, if you will, always transmitting, always receiving. You are supposed to manifest the mind of God. And so this is why prophecy is so key, because a psychic can give you information, but a prophet can only speak. A prophet can speak to your destiny and your future and can impart to you. And I'll say it like this. A psychic can prophesy to you. only a prophet can impart to you, because impartation goes into your spirit and it deals with stuff in your spirit, rearranges your spirit, then turn around and catapults your spirit to a place in the future that you were not in. And then when you get up from that impartation, the physical universe is rearranging itself to line up with that word that was just deposited in your spirit. Now we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. Let's turn there. All right, all right. Ezekiel chapter 13 now. In the King James, it says the prophets condemned. It says false prophets condemned. Why am I going to this chapter? Prophets need to be balanced, and a lot of us are not balanced. You know, we see our prophet, we see Brian Carnes, we see people just prophesying, and they get in the churches, people get happy. I want my word, I want my prophecy, I want my healing. But the ministry of the prophet goes deeper than that. A real prophet comes, their words change your life, because they are pointing you to Christ. They're pointing you to righteousness. They're pointing you, they're urging you to be righteous. They're urging you to purify yourself before the Lord. They're urging you to seek God at another level. They're not necessarily just trying to urge you to give them some money. We don't see prophets in the Old Testament doing that either. The Bible also tells us that he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And so what does that mean? This means that you have to perceive. I perceive that thou art a prophet. That means you got to be in the spirit to perceive that somebody is a prophet. And once you perceive it, the Holy Spirit allowed you to perceive that. Who do men say that I am? Some say thou art Elijah. Some say this, that, and the third. But no, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Okay, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. So your blessing is in that the Father allowed this revelation to be revealed to you. And since he allowed it to be revealed to you, then you can sow into that and be blessed. It's not, oh, I know you're a prophet, I'm going to sow into your life. In Ezekiel chapter 13, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man. Now, when you see son of man in the Bible, that word man can be switched with Adam, Adama, son of man. You can translate that, or as you can make that whole prepositional phrase, earthling, earthling. Or when you see son of man, it can also speak prophetically to the coming of Christ. So you got to understand what's going on here. But he says, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them. Now, he said the prophets in Israel. So there will be prophets in the church that prophesy. But when God raised these prophets up within the church, it was for the church, so that the church could separate the false prophet from the real prophet. So, you know, we want to get rid of all this foolishness that we're just all one and just inhale and exhale. And Jesus loves you. And can't we all just get along? The devil is a liar. Who is my father and my mother? Who is my brother and my sister? Who is my family but they that do the will of the Lord? I have to be about my, what, Father's business. So we need to do away with this new age love. Hold hands. We are all the same. The devil is a liar. This was a prophet, Ezekiel. He was called to the children of Israel, those that were part of the camp. This is a saved individual called to a saved group of people. And he said, look, say to the prophets. That means within the saved group of people, within the called out ones, within the ecclesia, there was a group of prophets that were prophesying, whom God raised up another prophet to go to. And he told them, prophesy out of, he says, say unto the prophets of Israel, say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. This is what we have an abundance of today. See, this is why it's hard for people. I have, you know, pastor friends, apostles, and prophets and other ministers. And, you know, I can't stay in your face all day long. If you are a prophet, you're not supposed to be in people's face all day long. You're not supposed to be around them all the time. You know, we got people who have pastors, and they stay in their pastor's face all day long. They stay in their pastor's face, you know, at the house all the time, all the time. Look, sometimes you need to keep a safe distance from your pastor. And as a prophet, you need to keep a safe distance from those to whom whom you feel you are called to prophesy. And so when you know you're called to prophesy and you want to keep your gift pure, you can't watch everything, you can't hang around everybody, and you have to stay in your word. Why? So that when you prophesy, your faith knows that it's the word of the Lord, and the devil, who is the slanderer or the accuser of the brethren, will not be able to bring anything against you, because you're encouraged in this thing that when the enemy cometh, he will have nothing in me. He will find nothing in me. And you know that what you're speaking is the word of the Lord. Now, we have a bunch of prophets running around in the body of Christ prophesying out of their own hearts. Why? Because I know your information. I know you. I grew up with you. You're in the same denomination. You're in our covenant group, our covenant fellowship. I know you. Now, we just prophesying to each other because I know your business. You know my business. I grew up with you. You grew up with me. And we just hang out all the time. And I know where. I know your hurts. I know your pains. I know your inhibitions. I know your inclinations. I know your future. I know what you want to do. I know your wishes. And so now we play off of those things psychically, and we call it the Lord. The devil is a lie. He says, say to those that prophesy out of their heart, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. And so there are a lot of people that are following their own spirit. So first of all, I'm prophesying out of my heart because, oh, I want to see you do well. I want to see you do great. I want to see you go to school. I want to see you do this. Well, God is not saying that. That's you saying that out of your own heart. And then some prophesy out of their own spirit. Those that are prophesying out of their own spirit have not been purified enough to the level to be able to discern or cut or separate their spirit from the spirit of the Lord. So now they're prophesying, but they're unclean. And so when you prophesy and you're unclean, the prophecy is coming from a dirty vessel, but it's coming from your own spirit. Now, what does coming from your own spirit also mean? These are people who study the word of God. You have the word on the inside of you, and every time you prophesy to somebody, you are prophesying a scripture to them that fits their present situation. After you ask them about this situation, say, can I pray for you? You're prophesying out of your own spirit. Yes, it's the word, and yes, you're sending the word to the situation, but to say that God told you to tell them that, the devil is a lie. And verse 4 says, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up. And now, foxes in the desert, they run into every hole they can run in. Look, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. They run into every hole, every nook, every cranny they can get to for shelter. They find whatever they can get into for some food, and they're a little playful. He says, your prophets are like the foxes. You've not gone into the gaps. Now, what is the foxes? If they're out there, they're running into everything for shelter, protection, and food. They're going to and fro. They don't know what they were called to. They're not specified. He said, you've not gone into the gaps. Going into the gaps is a specified purpose. I know I'm called to go into the gap, to stand in and between. He says, neither made up the hedge. He said, you've not went in the gaps. You've not made up the hedge. So these are the ministerial. These are ministerial qualities of prophets. You know, he said to stand into the gap, not just an intercessor. We got everybody hopping up. I'm a prophet. I'm an intercessor. You might as well go sit in your corner and pray for yourself and intercede for your household, because we think everybody that's a prophet think I'm an intercessor. The word. Now, he says here, go up into the gaps. Look, when you stand, when there is a gap in the wall, when there is a fortified wall that's built up in the city and it has a gap in it or a breach in it, and you are going to stand in that gap, you become the protection. You become the one who takes the hits. You become the one who is now on the front line. You become the one who now becomes the target. And then he says, neither have you made up the hedge. Made up the hedge. So now not only are you supposed to be the target, but you're supposed to make up the hedge and help protect for the house of Israel to stand in the day, to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And people translate, you know, when you say the day of the Lord, it can speak of that prophetic coming of the day of the Lord. But I submit to you that the day of the Lord reveals that when the Lord comes to your house, when the Lord comes to you, when salvation comes to you, when the Lord decides to visit your house, what have you done? When he decides to visit you in prayer, what will he find? When he decides to visit you in your house, visit us at church, what does God find when he comes on the scene? And what will he find in you on the day of judgment? Verse 6 says, they have seen vanity and lying divination. They have seen vanity and lying divination. This is a hard word because we have a lot of people. That means they can prophesy accurate to you. They can prophesy to you, get you in your psychical realm, and you just getting all emotional, and then they lay hands, and then you fall out, but you get up, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And you're coming back, well, you gave me a word, and the word didn't come to pass. Well, why didn't the word come to pass? Did God decree the word? And was you in the psychic realm? Well, what happened? The Bible says they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word, to make others to hope that they will confirm the word. If this is the biggest lie of the prophetic movement today, because so many of us look prophetic, we sound prophetic, we know how to mimic the prophetic, and we got tongues that are not even from God rolling off our tongue, and we sound prophetic, we sound apostolic, we sound churched, we've been ordained, we sound, look the part, sound the part, act like the part, imitate the part. And the Bible says there are some false prophets that cause others to hope that they will confirm the word. Is that not one of the biggest deceptions, to cause God people to hope that you, that God will confirm a word, or that you will confirm a word, and God never called you to do it in the first place? So here you have a pastor who's an apostle. God never told you to do that. The people are hoping based off the fact that this authority lies in you. Here you are a pastor, and God told you to travel and prophesy. Here you are having people to hope and believe in the things that you're saying from that capacity or that authority level that's in you. We have prophets prophesying falsely to people. And not just prophecy, because we talked about a prophet containing the will and the mind of God. Prophets communicate what God is saying, but they communicate the purposes of God. It's deeper than that. It's not just a word, this is what God is saying. It is a word that is so entwined in their everyday life that they live the prophetic, that they speak the prophetic, they declare the prophetic. Because when you talk to a prophet, it's like they're downloading the heartbeat of God. They're downloading the mind of God. This is what God is thinking. This is what God wants to do. This is God's heartbeat. This is the temperature of God right now. Let's go with God, because they can talk to you in prophetic counsel and give you more prophetic counsel sometimes, or in a prophetic conversation, than prophecy. Prophets have to carry the burden of the word of the Lord, which means God will show a prophet what I'm doing in a city, an area, a region, a territory, an atmosphere, a church, a building, an organization. And then that prophet has to carry that burden around. And the reason they have to carry that burden around, because God allows the prophet to carry that burden. And the only way it's going to stop being heavy to the prophet is if they get into some deep intercession. And by the time they go into intercession, they are purged out to a level where now this burden that once was heavy is now a light affliction. It's now light. It's now easy. And now they are able to handle that thing and speak to it, decree and declare it, because now the burden has become a part of them. And they carry it with them. And now it's light. Because who walks around and says, my arm is a burden? No, it's a part of you. It's not a burden. You don't even notice it's there. But it's become you. So now you can prophesy concerning that. Verse 7, he says that these prophets have seen a vain vision. Have ye not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord my God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you. You have spoken emptiness, which means you've caused my people to believe in a lie, because I didn't say that. Therefore, you can prophesy all day long, and it sound deep, look deep, sound good, and if it doesn't line up with the word, if God has not told you to say it, because people say, oh, somebody prophesied to me, they prophesied to me, and it lines up with the word. Okay, I wouldn't care if it lined up with every scripture in the Bible, but did God tell them to say that when they released it to you? So if God didn't tell them to say that when they released it to you, then they prophesied to you out of their own spirit, which places them in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 13, with the prophets that prophesy out of their own spirit and out of their own hearts and out of their own imaginations. Because when you understand that God is speaking to you, the first thing you understand is that you only speak when spoken to. That means you only prophesy when the Lord tells you, I want you to prophesy. So the ironic part about it is God will purge you to a point where you can operate and flow in the gift at will. You can just touch somebody, pray for them, and flow at will. But when now you are operating at a certain level in the gift, and God says, good, now I want you to shut up and only speak when I tell you to speak, because God wants to be able to control the gift. Because, and see, that's what he does with prophets. He gives you the gift, he matures you in the gift, then he says, now give it back. Somebody said, Indian giver. He says, nope, I gave you the gift, I perfected you in it, now give it back. Because I want to see, now that you can work this gift, are you going to submit it back to me? Or are you just going to go work it and pimp it and prostitute it and prophesy out of your own spirit and your own heart? Because the gifting is there. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, and that divine lies. Divine means you trump it up. Divine lies. See, today, we don't want to hear this. Divine lies. Divine. That word divine gives the appearance or gives you the mental picture of somebody digging a hole in the ground. They're digging a hole in the ground. So somebody that's divining is trying to trump themselves up to get a word. Like you see people speaking in tongues all the time. You ask them to prophesy. The first thing they do is start to speak in tongues, to speak in tongues, to speak in tongues. And like one of the prophets was saying, people rev themselves up. No, they start to speak in tongues. Okay, what are you speaking in tongues for? If you are hearing the Lord, just tell us what he's saying. Amen. If you said that God is speaking to you, open up your mouth and tell us what he's saying. But the fact that you got to get in tongues and you got to get in prayer and you got to be birthed, all this, no. Shut up and go sit down because you got to trump up a spirit. You're trumping up a spirit now because, I'm going to get deep on it. Well, it's what it is. So a lot of people, they're speaking all these tongues before they can do something. What they're doing is a lot of time that tongue is not even from the Spirit of the Lord. That tongue is from their own head, out of their own mind. And God forbid it be from a devil. And so what that tongue is doing, this whole bunch of alliterations and symbols, it's a form of meditation for them. Now, when the Bible talks about vain babblings, I know it's talking about some of these meditations in these other religions, but we do it right here in the church because we get in these vain babblings, and what they do is the repetition of these alliterations, the repetition of sounds and syllables, it focuses our mind. And it's a form of meditation to get them focused on the Lord. Now they're in a state where their mind is focused and they feel that they can hear the Lord, but they just trumped up their own spirit to get their own spirit prepared. Because when you and I'll say this about me, there have been times that I've spoken in tongues for long periods of time, and there was an interpretation that followed that. And there was tongues with an interpretation or a translation that followed that. Sometimes I might be praying for someone and I begin to speak in tongues, there is some intercession that is going on the behalf of that person. And see, when you get older and more mature in the prophetic, the less you will speak in tongues and the more you will begin to prophesy. Because Paul said, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to you than to sit up here and speak in tongues. After he told them too, but he also told them in the same passage, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But when I'm in front of you, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words. Well, that just does away with the whole Pentecostal movement of speaking in tongues every time you get the microphone. I feel the Holy Ghost, shot tie. Okay, I'm going to need you to feel the Holy Ghost behind closed doors. But when you grab that microphone, it's time to edify, which means you must think clearly, which means you must think logically, which means when you're up there acting a fool, any spirit can take hold of your spirit. If it's not, how do we know that's not the spirit of the enemy? Because the devil can speak in tongues too. No, grab the microphone, and when you edify and you are speaking in English with words people can understand, then your words can be measured, your words can be placed in the scales of understanding. Your words can be discerned. Because, see, it's easy for anybody to get on the microphone and grab and start speaking in tongues. Then when somebody say that's not God, you have some, I was in the spirit. No, you're not in the spirit. I'm going to need you to come out of that spirit, okay, and begin to decree and declare the word of the Lord. Now, back into Ezekiel, he continues to tell them. He says, they divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord thy God. We cannot deny the Bible. Now, God has let us know, you a prophet, I called you. And if you're running around here saying things that I did not tell you to say, you're causing my people to believe in lies. Who told you to say that? Did I really tell you to say that? And I remember the Lord asked me one day, he said, you know, when you prophesy, if I was to require your life based on the fact that you really heard from me and I really told you to say what you said every time you prophesied, would you still stick to it and hold to it? So that right there will help a whole lot of people before they prophesy if the Lord was to require your life at the reality of whether he really told you to say that or not. I wonder how much prophesying we would see if we had a sanctuary full of dead bodies because they prophesying out of their own spirit and out of their own heart, and God is not saying anything because we got all this speaking and God is saying a whole lot, but we can't live and walk nothing out. You a prophet, you can prophesy all day long, but you can't pay your bills, you can't pay your house bills, you're trifling, you're eating off the kids, you're nasty, you got a attitude, you still curse, you still watch whatever kind of movies you want to watch, you still do whatever you eat till you're full, you have no manners, you're still full of pride and rebellion, and it's just foolishness. No, the prophet is one of the highest gifts. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Thirdly, teachers. And teachers is right there with the pastor. So the prophet is that second gift. And God has put the apostle, prophet, and the teacher together because they balance one another. And they can, when I say balance one another as far as discernment, they keep them in check. Because an apostle and a prophet, I mean a teacher and a prophet will be able to check and discern whether an apostle is of the Lord and vice versa. When the prophets prophesy, let them prophesy by two or three. We've had apostles that had to come back to Jerusalem to be confirmed. And even and in the Bible, God usually used a prophet to confirm or call another prophet. And so verse 10 says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, here goes our prophesying prophets, always prophesying something good. You keep on prophesying something good when God told you to prophesy something that's going to convict this person and help them change their life and help them to repent while you're still here trying to prophesy to them and trying to tell them that God's going to do this, God's going to bless them. No, God ain't going to bless them if they ain't living in sin. God is not going to bless you if you're not right. And the goodness of God leadeth men. It does. The goodness of God does lead men to repentance. But guess what? The goodness of God comes when you're obedient to his word. And if you're not obedient to his word, you need to find out what you're not doing so you can correct it. And you get that through the word of the Lord. So when prophets come with correction, judgment, admonishment, and those types of things, it is to help the body of Christ. You'll find also, you know, people say the prophets are hateful, they don't love, they're mean. Well, guess what? Every fivefold gift, as some would call it, better probably called the fourfold or the four ascension gifts, but each one of those gifts have been given to love in a different measure. They've been given to love in a whole different measure. The prophet might love by telling you, you know what, like the Bible says, some you save, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, and some you save by snatching them out of the fire. So the prophet loves differently than the pastor. The pastor wants to help you, be your friend, cover you, deal with you like a babe in Christ, help to bring you up in the word of the Lord. Prophet is coming along, and usually prophets come to houses that are mature. Prophets come to you in different phases of your life, usually houses that are mature, that can handle the meat of the word and say, I'm going to need you to bring all that in, suck all that up, because this is what the Lord wants to do. So in Ezekiel chapter 13, we see here that there's those that can prophesy out of their own heart. You can prophesy out of your own spirit. And we follow in here that there is a judgment. Verse 11, we're going to read 11 through we're going to read some more here, because verse 11 says, say to them which daub with untempered mortar. Because in verse 10, he said, and they're saying peace, there is no peace. And one built up a wall and others daubed it with untempered mortar. These are those that get in the same denominations. I like what you said. You like what I said. I sound good to you. You sound good to me. We get together, get in our own circle. And what we do, they start prophesying and building people up. And guess what? One comes in and prophesy. The other one comes in behind and prophesy. Everybody on the same page. They're getting money. They're getting paid. But guess what? Is anything being torn down? Is anything being uprooted? Anything being built? Anything being raised? What is really going on? He says, say to them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. He says, there shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Why? Because you're supposed to stand in the gaps. You're supposed to be a protection. You're supposed to stand in the gaps. You're supposed to make up the hedge, and you have not done it. But y'all daubed these things with whitewash. This is not even paint. This is not even clay. This is not even anything that's going to protect you from the elements. So why are you giving people the likeness of something? It looks like it might protect them, but the substance of it will not last during the storm. So God said, good, I'm going to send a storm because it's going to test what you really think you got. And lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Where is all that word? Where is all that doctrine? Where is all that stuff that you preach and that you taught? Verse 13 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume. So will I break down the wall you have daubed with untempered water and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and shall know that I am the Lord. What God is saying, look, Lord have mercy. God has to use you as the prophet. He has to use me as the prophet, us. God has to use the prophets to bring judgment, because judgment reveals the real nature of a thing. If there is a ministry that has been built up on a false foundation, God sends a prophet to tear that thing down so that you can see that this thing was not built right. Now, You might not have but three or four people, but now y'all can put, take your hands to the plow and build the house up from the ground up. The problem is the spirit of righteousness, because those that don't have a spirit of righteousness don't want to build again. Those that have, don't have a spirit of righteousness or purification don't want to build again. They don't want to start all over. But those that say, God, I'm with you. If it's only, if I only got two or three, I'm going to be with you. If I only got two or three people and we have to build this thing from scratch, we're going to go make it happen. See, this is when God begins to deliver a word that changes a house. God tells a house to move in the apostolic and prophetic and people leave. God switches up the revelation, switches up the mysteries and the teaching. People begin to leave. Well, let them leave. Let the chips fall where they are. Go forth in the prophetic word, because God has to allow judgment to come so it can reveal a thing for what it really is. And prophets cannot be afraid and not be scared. You cannot be afraid and you cannot be scared of judgment. And I'm going to go on a small break here. I'm going to play a little snippet. I might play a couple of snippets here. I'm going to play a little snippet from the Apostolic and Prophetic Conference. I'm going to take a little break here. And I want you to be blessed. This is me doing a little teaching, and we're going to follow that by another snippet. So I want you to take some time, get something to drink, or do something. I'm going to give me something to drink, because this is good. And remember, we're talking about the judgment of God. We went to Numbers 12 to see how God deals with judgment and rebellion. But in Numbers 12, we also saw the type of the apostolic and prophetic and how the church is dealing with the apostolic and prophetic and God's mind to it, similar to that story and how he dealt with Miriam, Aaron, and Moses in that situation. And still connecting with the prophetic, we are still talking about prophetic and connecting it to rebellion in Ezekiel 13, because we have a lot of prophets in rebellion prophesying out of their own heart, prophesying out of their own spirit. You need to know how to tell the difference. What is from the spirit of the Lord? There is a spirit of purification. Anybody that prophesies to you and you know they're not living right, their character is off, their morality is off, they're in sin, they're not purified, you are not obligated to submit yourself to that anointing. Though the gifts are in calling or without repentance, and we understand that's talking about Israel, but we use that out of context. We understand people may be anointed, but the Bible says quench not the spirit. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, you know, the anointing can leave you. You might be anointed now, but anointing can leave you. And the worst thing is to have the anointing leave you and you not know it.
God switched it, and he said, now I'm putting you on a mission. And now you're on a mission. So now when you go places, you have to know, God, what is the mission? There's a mission for the reason. There's a mission. There's a word that needs to be released, and the anointing is specified. I don't just go and preach just because somebody called me.
Right.
So you talked about prosperity. If God can't do it, then I'm in the wrong business and serving the wrong God.
Right.
And if he can't bless me, he cannot prosper me. He can't deliver my family. He can't deliver me and make this thing happen.
Right.
Then I need to go somewhere and sit in the corner and find Buddha and go meditate and find me another God. But God is faithful,
right.
And he is able to complete the work, and God is able to do it. And we are living in some hard times where we have to have our faith built up. We have to know those that labor among us, and there is an apostolic and a prophetic anointing that God is releasing in the atmosphere in this time and season, and it is not to be contended with. That's right there, because see, the church has got confused. We missed it when they walked up and lied to the apostles. Did we read that scripture? Ananias, is that still in your Bible? Ananias is the Bible? Is that still in your Bible? Because it's in mine. When they lied to the apostles, and they just fell dead, and they just came on about it. That was a normal thing. People said, that's not God. They lied to the apostles. Take them on up and take them on out of here so we can finish having service.
Right.
So we can go ahead and finish having service. And we do not have time for people to come and play. Because at the level of the anointing that God is releasing, help me, Jesus.
Come on.
The level of the anointing that God is releasing in the earth, we've been talking about end time anointing, but God is releasing a spirit of unity. And this anointing, we have to know those that labor among us.
Right.
And see, when I say provide a need, I need to know you to the point that if I go to preach, See, we just had a young lady come out, and she's not young, but she was in her 60s. She did a healing crusade, and she was preaching in China in the underground church. And when they finished preaching, the lady got up and said, you know, and she told us everyone, she said, the lady got up and said, you know, we want to thank, her name is Kathy Curran. We want to thank Miss Curran for coming out here and preaching, and we just bless God that she hasn't been arrested or shot and killed.
Wow.
And she said, well, because in that church, in order to get the word in there, they got to take Bibles, tear the pages off the Bibles, fold them up just to get the word over there. And we got people over here who can't even come to Bible study.
Come on.
We We got people over here. I'm called to ministry. I got a vision for this. God has shown me I'm going across the world to preach, and you can't even come to church on time on Sunday. That's a spirit of delusion. You need to go somewhere and have a seat. That's a demon right there, because you can't even discipline yourself by coming to the house of the Lord and sitting here and being here on time.
Right? Come on, come on.
Amen. Amen, amen. I'm going to play another clip. These are clips from our Apostolic and Prophetic Conference. Not ours, but Prophet Camille Matthews had an Apostolic and Prophetic Summit down in Alabama. And Prophet Gray Apostle Trumbo went down there. And we just had a time in the Lord. So I'm going to play this little clip by Prophet Gray as we continue on, taking a few minutes to take a break. And then we're going to come back. We're going to close out this Bible study. It went quite long. I didn't want it to go quite this long, but we're just going to obey the Lord. And let's just listen to Prophet Gray teach for a little bit.
That were to come. And in Exodus, the second chapter, verses 23 through 25, and it came to pass in the process of time.
Right.
That the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect to them.
Amen.
It was a 400-year assignment, but this was about 430 years they had stayed in a place that they were only assigned for 400 years. I know that they were only supposed to be in bondage, as I said, 400 years, but they actually stayed that 430 until their sigh, their cry, a word came out of their mouth. God, remember what you said about us. We're only supposed to stay here for 400 years, God. God, remember us. Oh, God. Father, we're giving you your word, what you said to us.
Right.
So their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage. We sometimes stay in situations not because we're supposed to even be there.
That's right.
My God. Uh-huh.
Okay, I need you really to grasp that. We are in some situations not because we're supposed to be there, because there are seasons. There definitely are seasons. Hallelujah. But there's times that we stay in situations because we don't begin to release what God said about the situation. The enemy will run roughshod on you. He will keep his foot on your neck as long as you allow him to do it. Hallelujah. Because see, what happens is these circumstances, they begin to become normal to us, because we're looking at what's going on in the world. We're looking at our friends, relatives, in-laws, outlaws, people in life. We're looking at the things that they are going through. But we are kingdom people. We're peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We've been called out. We're different. Nothing in this. We're in this world, but not of this world. These things shouldn't affect us, even the economy. I talked to so many people.
Now, what we're going to do is kind of close this up. I just held my own conference here, or God's own conference, should I say. We did an Apostolic and Prophetic Conference right here. We've got a couple of videos on YouTube. If you look it up at the Kentucky Annual Apostolic and Prophetic Conference, and you will be able to see a couple of videos there. I'm going to upload some more videos to that. We also streamed it live on Ustream, so you're able to hear some of that. It was some powerful word. Ustream is not that good, but with the video, I'm learning, and I'm going to try to find another medium, because we want to start streaming these events and giving these events to you, so you will have them. But we're going to continue on here in the prophetic a little bit to talk about, we were talking about judgment and that ministry of the prophet, the judgment, the ministry. And as prophets, because we have to learn how to discern those around us. And see, this is why there was a school of the prophets. You know, the school of the prophets was not to teach people how to prophesy. The school of the prophets was so that the prophets would have a haven, so that the prophets could operate in their gifting, so that the prophets could be in a place where iron sharpens iron, where the lesser prophets can learn from the greater prophets, where those who are more anointed can learn how to be humble when they were around those who were not at the level they were at, where they can share prophecies, they can write down the word of the Lord, they can play music, they can prophesy, they can operate together, they can learn how to do what they do, they can go somewhere and feel comfortable and know that I'm not crazy. This is one of the reasons for the school of the prophets, because God should have called you to prophesy before you come rolling up in here in the school of the prophets. And a lot of these schools of the prophets have missed it, trying to teach people how to prophesy, and you fall into the category of prophesying out of your own heart and out of your own spirit, and the Lord is a
against you. We are not to raise up people to teach them how to prophesy. The Bible says, Moses said to it, that all God's people were prophets. Anybody can prophesy, but it takes a prophet to be able to upgrade their loins or gird up their loins to be able to pick up the Ark of the Covenant and carry the presence of the Lord on their shoulders, to be able to walk with the presence of the Lord around Jericho 17 times. It takes a prophet of the Lord to be able to pick up the burden of the Lord or be able to perceive what the burden of the Lord is and to have the strength enough to decree and declare when everything around you is saying differently. You know, like the prophet said in the Old Testament, God, open up his eyes so he can see that there are more that are for us than those that are against us. And so it takes a different type of anointing, because God sends prophets to dry places, and a whole lot of us wonder why, God, why am I in a dry place? Well, you said you was the prophet. God has to place us in dry places so that we can see that the anointing that we believe and say is on our life actually can work. Can these dry bones live? Now, that right there will just preach for the next 2 weeks, because a whole lot of us are in some dry places that God is trying to get us to bring revival to that area, prophesy to the city, prophesy to the churches, prophesy to the city hall, prophesy to the governments, prophesy to the powers, prophesy to the finances. Some cities, you got to prophesy to the ground, prophesy to the marine demons. There are certain regions that have demons that are lodged in the ground. And I just saw that right there, because Wisconsin is an area of them. Wisconsin has some spirits of witchcraft that are lodged in the ground, all up and through that 31W. We need to prophesy to the ground. We got to curse the ground with all these spirits that are in it, and then prophesy that it be fruitful. We got to bind up, but we also got to loose some stuff. Those are legal terms. Those are legal terms. And we got some dry areas. I see pockets over the United States. We have dry areas. I see like Nebraska. I see Utah and Ohio. We have some dry areas, and certain areas have been targeted by the spirit realm because they're dry places. And sometimes you can liken the spirits that are in an area to the type of vegetation or to the terrain or to the land that they are in. But we need to learn to prophesy to things. When we prophesy, our prophecy carries the frequency of the Holy Ghost. It's the frequency of God. It's the frequency of He who spoke and created. So everything you speak to has an ear. And that's one of the first things you need to learn in the prophetic, that everything you speak to has an ear. And not only that everything you speak to has an ear, but the power of life and death is in the tongue as well. So we watch what we say. I'm going to kind of close this up. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. To the book of Ephesians. And I'm still, talking about the prophetic, and we went to Ezekiel 13, and we just hit on some things there, but you can really break that. You can really, really break that down. And as apostles and prophets, and I'll just do this because this needs to be an encouragement. And somebody that has a prophetic anointing, let this encourage them. Hopefully they can grab something from this. We're going to the book of Ephesians. Praise the Lord, if I can find it. I still have my Bible. I don't have that iPad or that iPhone yet. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to back this up. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 15. And it says, having abolished in his flesh, who is his flesh, Jesus' flesh, the enmity, the struggle, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So he's combined. We know the Jew and Gentile have become one in the man Christ Jesus, and in the two becoming one, he abolished the ordinances. So verse 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. So that is a divine mystery of the cross that is seldom preached, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were not. Those that were afar, hello Gentiles, those that were near, hello Jews, hello those that believe. For through him we both have access by one Spirit. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Talking to these Ephesians. And verse 20, and you, talking to the Ephesians, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There you have it. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. This is why it's so critical that we must mark them that are not called. Because how dare you see somebody that is not called to be a real apostle or prophet? You know what you discern it and you see it. The signs are not there, yet you still recognize them as such. You are contributing to the degradation and the tearing down of the spiritual house that is being built up called the church. Let's read on. Verse 21 says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So the Bible says that the church is being built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. But we see here in verse 20 that, look, the apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. And I cannot emphasize this so much, because we need to recognize it is time out. We really have to start letting people know when God sends you babes in Christ, how dare you let them go submit themselves to a false apostle or prophet? How dare you know the spirit of some of these pastors and these ministry gifts, and God sends you somebody to mentor them and train them and to help them out at this beginning stages, and then you send them over here to this ravenous wolf, to this sheep in wolf's clothing, to this wolf, excuse me, in sheep's clothing, to this pastor who is unpurified, to somebody who's just walking. They could be living right, but God didn't call you to be an apostle. Disqualified. As Apostle Wagner would say, you're disqualified. We're sending people, recommending churches, and see, sometimes you're going to find it, because sometimes you want to recommend people to a church, but it's, you know, you've been in that place where you want to recommend people to a church, but there's nothing around here to recommend them to. Hello, cell groups. Hello, Bible study. Because God is snatching his fear off the body of Christ in these days. There are many people who are going to hear this message, and there are many people who are in the body of Christ whom God is telling to start Bible studies in their homes. God is saying, because not just prayer, God is telling some people, look, start a Bible study in your home. You know, go over other people's house. Be like, hey, look, can we come over to your house, get some food, just have some Bible study? Look, that's what the New Testament church was. That's what the church is. It's in two or three. It's not in a building. It's not in a the building is the synagogue. The church is the ecclesia, the called out one. What are we thinking? You know, and my prayer is, God, loose the bands off of our minds. Open up our eyes. Let us see. Let us see. I'm going to take a few minutes before we go. We got 15 minutes left. But I'm going to read something out of one of the books that I have here. I'm going to read something here. I'm going to play a little bit of Apostle Camille Matthews and let you listen to that for a couple of minutes, a little worship from her conference. And then I'm going to read a couple of quotes out of a couple of books here. And I want you to think about those things, but we'll be right back. I'm going to get those books. So I want you to stay tuned. I'm going to read those quotes. They're going to bless you. And then we're going to come back and we're going to close the show.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. This is our Word of Life Church Kentucky online Bible study. I hope you're getting some out of this. We're talking about the prophetic. We talked about rebellion and judgment, bringing balance to that as a result of people rejecting the prophetic and rejecting the apostolic. So we're trying to bring some understanding here. I hope you are getting something out of this. We went from Numbers to Ezekiel to the book of Ephesians, and I want you to tune in and hear the rest of the show. Be blessed. All right, I'm going to read a passage out of here. This is out of a text. I'll tell you exactly where it's from. It's called The Lost Books of the Bible and the Forgotten Books of Eden. So I just lost some of y'all right there. But I'm going to read this. I'm going to read a few passages out of this. Now, this is a book called The Shepherd of Hermas. And in The Shepherd of Hermas, so what happened in the early church, they passed books around because folks were getting a revelation. People were getting revelations. And they passed some books around. And so what was happening was people were fasting, they got revelations, and when they got their revelations from the Lord, they would share it. They got their revelation from the Lord, they would share it with the body. Give me a minute here, because I want to lay this, I want to do this right before we leave, because this is going to bless you. This is going to bless you. Just had to give myself here a little bit more of time because I want you to get this. This is the Shepherd of Hermas, and I'm going to read out of Vision 3. This brother had a vision, and this is the story of it. He says, the vision which I saw, brethren, was this. This is the vision he wrote it, and it was given to the churches in the early church. He said, when I had often fasted and prayed unto the Lord that he would manifest unto me his revelation, which he had promised by the old woman to show unto me, the same night she appeared unto me and said unto me, because thou dost afflict thyself and art desirous to know all things, come into the field where thou wilt, and about the sixth hour I will appear unto thee and show thee what thou must see. I asked her, saying, lady, into what part of the field? She answered, saying, wherever thou wilt. I'm going to skip down. Verse 6 says, and I beheld a bench placed. It was a linen pillow, and over it spread a covering of fine linen. I saw these things ordered in this manner, and there was nobody in the place. I began to be astonished, and my hair stood on end, and a kind of horror seized me, for I was alone. Verse 10, and touching me, she said, leave off to pray now only for thy sins. Pray also for the righteousness, that thou may receive a part of her in thy house. Now I'm going to skip down. I'm going to skip down here. Verse 12 says, as soon as they were departed and were alone, she said unto me, sit here. And I answered her, lady, let those who are elders sit first. She replied, sit down as I bid you. And when I would have sat on the right side, she suffered me not, but made a sign for me with her hand that I should sit on the left. As I was therefore musing and full of sorrow, she would not suffer me to sit on the right side. And she said unto me, Hermas, why are you sad? And the place which is on the right, this is what she said to him. The place which is on the right hand is theirs who have already attained unto God and have suffered for his name's sake. But there is yet a great deal remaining unto thee before thou canst sit with them. But continue as thou doest in thy sincerity, and thou shalt sit with them, as all others shall do their works and shall bear what they have borne. I said to her, lady, I would know what it is that they have suffered. Here then, she said, wild beasts, scourgings, imprisonments, and crosses for his name's sake. For this cause the right hand of holiness belongs to them, and to all the others as many as shall suffer for the name of God, but the left belongs to the rest. Howbeit the gifts and the promises belong to both, to them on the right and to them on the left hand. Only that sitting on the right hand they have some glory above the others. But thou art desirous to sit on the right hand with them. I'm going to continue this on. And yet thy defects are many, but thou shalt be purged from thy defects, as all who have doubt shall not be clean from their sins, which they have committed unto this day. And when she had said this, she would have departed. Wherefore, falling down before her feet, I began to entreat her for the Lord's sake. that she would show me the vision which she had promised. Then she again took me by the hand and lifted me up and made me sit upon the seat of the left side, and holding up her curtain, a certain bright wand, said to me, "Seest thou great thing?" I replied, "Lady, I see nothing." She answered, "Dost thou not see over against thee a great tower?" Now, I want y'all to listen, because this is where, this is the part I wanted to hear, and I want you to really, if you get this, tune in and let somebody else listen to this. Now, and the reason I'm going here, because Ephesians 2, and the book of Ephesians 2 says, verse 21 says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So in this vision of Hermas, he is asking, look, show me the vision. And she says, okay, here's the vision. And she took him by the hand, she lifted me up, made me sit on the seat on the left side, hold up a certain wand, and said to me, "Seest thou a great thing?" I replied, "I see nothing." She answered, "Dost thou not see over against a great tower, which is being built upon the water with bright square stones? For the tower was built upon a square by these six young men that came with her. But many thousand of other men brought stones. Some drew them out of the deep, others carried them from the ground, and gave them to the six young men, and they took them and built. As for those stones which were drawn out from the deep, they put them all into the building, for they were polished, and their squares exactly answered one another. And so was one joined in such wise to the other, that there was no space to be seen where they joined, insomuch that the whole tower appeared to be built as it were of one stone. But as for the other stones that were taken off from the ground, some of them they rejected." Now, I know the Bible talks about the stones the builders rejected, and I'm not saying that this is scripture, but I'm just reading this to you because I want you to get this. I just wanted you to hear this. And it says, "Some of them they rejected." Now, these are the stones that are being built for the tower. Some of them fit jointly together, others they rejected, and others fit into the building. And it says, "As for those that were rejected, some they cut out, some they cast at a distance from the tower, but many others they lay around the tower, which they made no use of in the building. For some of these were rough, others had clefts in them, others were white and round, not proper for the building of the tower. But I saw the other stones cast far off from the tower and falling into the highway, and yet not continuing in the way, but were rolled away into a desert place. Others I saw falling into the fire and burning. Others fell near the water, yet could not roll themselves into it, though very desirous to fall into the water. And when she had showed me these things, she would have departed. But I said to her, 'Lady, what doth it profit me to see these things and not understand what they mean?' She answered and said unto me, 'You are very cunning in that you are desirous to know these things.'" And we're going to skip down, and I'm going to explain these stones, and we're going to call it the night. Now, he said, "Lady, why is the tower built upon water?" She replied, "I said before to thee that thou wert very wise to inquire diligently concerning these things. Hear therefore why the tower is built upon water, because your life is and shall be saved by water. For it is founded by the word of the Almighty and the honorable name, and is supported by the invisible power and virtue of God." This is what she told him. And I answering saying unto her, "These things are very admirable, but lady, who are the six young men that build?" This is this tower that they were building. She says, "They are," said she, "the angels of God, which were first appointed, and to whom the Lord has delivered all his creatures to frame and build them up and to rule over them. For by these the building of the tower shall be finished. And who are the rest who bring them stones?" She said, "They also are holy angels of the Lord, but the others are more excellent than these. Wherefore, when the building of the tower shall be finished, they shall all feast together beside the tower and shall glorify God because the structure of the tower is finished." I asked her, saying, "I would know the condition of the stone and the meaning of them." And this is it, and we're going to close. She answering said unto me, "Art thou better than all the others that this should be revealed to you? For others are both before thee, better than thou art, to whom these visions should be made manifest. Nevertheless, that the name of God may be glorified, it has been and shall be revealed unto thee for the sake of those who are doubtful and think in their hearts whether these things are so or not. Tell them that all these things are true and that there is nothing in them that is not true, but all are firm and truly established. Hear now then concerning the stones that are in the building. The square and white stones," now these are supposed to be stones building the building or this tower of the church, "the square and white stones which agree exactly in their joints are the apostles and bishops and doctors and ministers who, through the mercy of God, have come in, governed, taught, and ministered holily and modestly to the elect of God, both they that have fallen asleep and they which yet remain, and have always agreed with them, and have had peace within themselves, and have heard each other. She said, these stones that fit together are the stones of the bishops, the apostles, the doctors, the ministers who taught the word, and the people who are in agreement with them, though they are dead. They all fit together. Now, verse 53 here, she keeps going and says, for which cause their joints exactly meet together in the building of the tower. They which are drawn out of the deep and put into the building, and whose joints agree with the other stones which are already built, are those which are already fallen asleep and have suffered for the name of the Lord's. And then verse 55, she says, what are the other? He says, what are the other stones, lady, that thou art brought from the earth? I would know what they are. She answered, they which lie upon the ground and are not polished are those which God has approved, because they have walked in the law of the Lord and directed their ways in his commandments. They which are brought and put in the building of the tower are the young in faith and the faithful. And these are admonished by the angels to do well, because that iniquity is not found in them. He said, but who are those whom they rejected and laid beside the tower? She said, they are such as have sinned and are willing to repent, but which cause they are not cast afar off from the tower, because they will be useful for the building if they shall repent. They therefore are yet to repent. If they shall repent, shall become strong in faith. That is, if they repent now whilst the tower is still building. For if the building shall be finished, there will then be no place for them to be put in, but they shall be rejected. For he only has this privilege who shall now be put into the tower. But would you know who they are who were cut out and cast afar off from the tower? Lady said, I desire it. She said, they are the children of iniquity, who believed only in hypocrisy. Hello, present day church. But departed not from their evil ways, for this cause they shall not be saved, because they are not of any use in the building by reason of their sins. Wherefore they are cut out and cast afar off because of the anger of the Lord, and because they have provoked him to anger against him. As for the great number of other stones which thou hast seen placed about the tower, but not put into the building, those which are rugged are they who have known the truth, but have not continued in it, nor been joined to the saints, and therefore are unprofitable. Those have clefts in them. They are those that keep up discord in the hearts against each other, and live not in peace, that are friendly when present with their brethren, but as soon as they are departed from one another, their wickedness still continues in their hearts. These are the clefts which are seen in those stones. Those that are maintained and short are those that have believed indeed, but still are in great measure full of wickedness. For this cause they are maimed and not whole. But what are the white round stones, lady, and which are not proper for the building of the tower? She answering said unto me, how long wilt thou continue foolish and without understanding, asking everything and discerning nothing? She said, they are such as have faith indeed, but have withheld the riches of this present world. When therefore any troubles arise for the sake of their riches and traffic, they deny the Lord. I answering her said unto her, when therefore will they be profitable to the Lord? When their riches shall be cut away, says she, in which they take delight, and they will be profitable unto the Lord for this building. For as a round stone, unless it be cut away and cast somewhat off, which means you got to cut a round stone to make it square, its bulk cannot be made square. So they who are rich in this world, unless their riches be part off, cannot be made profitable unto the Lord. Learn this from thy own experiences. When thou wert rich, thou wast unprofitable, but now thou art profitable and fit for the life which thou hast undertaken. And I'm going to read this last scripture. He says, as for the rest of the stones which thou sawest cast afar off from the tower and running in the way, and tumbled out of the way into the desert places, they are such as have believed indeed, but through their doubting have forsaken the true way, thinking that they could find a better way. But they wander and are miserable, going into desolate ways. And she continues to go on and describes, actually it's three more, but let me read these last three. Then for the stones which fell into the fire and were burnt are those who have forever departed the living God, nor doth it ever come into their hearts to repent by reason of the affection they bear to their lust and wickedness they commit. And what are the rest which fell by the water and could not roll into the water? She said, they are such as have heard the word. They were willing to be baptized in the name of the Lord, but considering the great holiness which the truth requires, have withdrawn themselves and walked again after their wicked lust. Thus finished the explication of the tower. And with that, I'm going to say this. This was a revelation by this brother, the Shepherd of Hermas. You don't let anybody tell you what is the word, what is not the word. One of the things you do, the Bible has everything that God has intended to give us for godliness and that pertains to the salvific process in our lives. But the Bible also tells us that everything that Jesus did could not be contained in books. I just encourage you to get to follow the Lord, follow the Holy Ghost. That was a writing that was passed along in the early church. Many people had revelations like that. The bishop of the church decided whether they were of the Lord, passed them around for the encouraging of the faith of the saints because they were being persecuted, and they needed stories like this to encourage them. And these stories and stories like that help to encourage and warm, keep conviction in the saints so that everybody can go steadfast and be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to thank you guys for tuning in on tonight. This has been a Bible study. It has gone longer than I wanted it to, but praise the Lord. I hope you've gotten something out of this. Please take this message. You can download it, give it to someone. That excerpt from the Shepherd of Hermas is an excellent story. Talk about the building of the church. We talked about false prophets. We talked about rebellion. Do not be rebellious. Learn to discern who's the real prophet and the false prophet, and learn to separate yourself from rebellion, but warn other people as well. This is the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and this has been your Word of Life Church Kentucky Bible Study. I want you to be blessed and enjoy your night.